Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Are you glorified fry cook?
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Sip and Chew Show with Mike and Stu. I'm Mike, that's Stu. We got Steve over here and on the board and Phil answering the calls.
Back there in his cave.
What a beautiful weekend so far. Mm-hmm. What?
So much for all that rain that was forecast.
Yeah, man, I tell you what. It's
beautiful downtown yesterday.
I bet. Well, it was. I stayed inside all day purging, going through boxes and getting rid of stuff. I stepped out on the balcony a couple times and did some things. But, it's a beautiful day where spring is here. And, Lord, you know, in 2 weeks is 2 weeks. Daylight savings time.
For the last time ever, right?
I don't know. I guess
they keep saying that.
They keep saying that. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
But guess what's 10 months from today?
Football season?
No.
Christmas Day.
Christmas Day.
Christmas Day is exactly 10 months from today.
You only got 10 months left, folks.
Yeah, you better start now. Don't wait till last minute like I do. Y'all hurry up and shop so when I go shopping on Christmas Eve, y'all won't be in my way. So anyway.
Wow.
But anyway, yeah, it's just a gorgeous day, but probably a great time to eat outside and drink outside and be outside. Yeah, we've had such a miserable couple months there, weather. And
you mean normal weather?
Yeah, I know, but when it's cold like that, all I want to do is eat, and it's not good for my diet. So
downtown ought to be good about now, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I bet Bob's is packed and Blind Mule and everything else that is outside seating. Everybody, I want to sit outside.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure that's where everybody's at. So what you looking at?
Oh, I'm just seeing what's going on.
Okay.
There are definite signs of spring everywhere. I've got azaleas in bloom. I found some wildflowers. Grass is needing to be cut.
Mm-hmm.
So it's full on spring here.
You being out in the country, y'all just get you a goat and some tortoises, and let them keep your grass.
I've toyed with the goats.
And you get some milk out of them.
And cheese.
And cheese, yeah.
Yeah.
Goat cheese, good.
Goat cheese, good.
Hey, I was raised on goat milk because I was lactose intolerant early on. I could not have normal cow milk. So, yeah, mm-hmm. we had goats and I turned out okay.
Stu has given great insight in the past on different milk. And you like the milk that's in a can, don't you?
No, the carton.
Carton.
That's sitting on a shelf at 72 degrees.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's far better than what you get from the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. There's no good milk to be found in the refrigerated section of most grocery stores.
Really?
Unless you're paying. Yeah. The plastic jug is the absolute worst thing we could put milk in.
Why is that? The absorption?
It lets in a UV light, ridiculous amount of UV light.
Okay.
And it's also very porous. So you've actually got air passing in and out of it. That's why milk's only good for a few weeks in a plastic jug, but you put it in a hermetically sealed carton, it's good for a year and a half.
Interesting.
Yeah. And the only place you'll ever find milk sold refrigerated is the United States of America. Nobody else does it.
Why?
Maybe Canada, but I mean, that's really our largest state.
Is it just economic reasons they put it in plastic then? Right?
Yes. Much cheaper.
Wow. Just to put it in a hermetically sealed
and
carton.
It's just American moms and dads don't want to, they want to pay as little money as possible for milk. So they're just giving the consumer what they want. That's why some places around here you can get milk, crack the lid on it, 3 days later it's sour.
I've wondered, makes sense.
Yeah, it's because you're buying mm-hmm. the cheapest milk there is. You shouldn't expect it to last more than 3 days.
Well, that's just sad.
Well, you get what you pay for.
Welcome to the rest of the economy, yeah.
Yeah, you get what you pay for. You go away from the grocery store brand, mm-hmm. you get Barber's, it's going to last you longer. You know why? Because it costs more. It's as simple as that. You get what you pay for. When you get the cheapest milk, you get the worst product.
Wow.
Yeah. And grocery stores don't make money off of milk.
Really?
Yeah, they sell them at that Walmart milk.
Mm-hmm.
They're selling that to you for less than they pay for it.
No.
Yes, because everything that goes with that milk, you're going to buy from Walmart. You're going to buy your cereal.
Like a loss leader.
Your oatmeal.
Like a loss leader.
Yeah. It's just like most chain restaurants. If you get a steak there, the restaurant's losing money on the steak.
Mm-hmm.
It costs them more to put it on the plate and give it to you than you're paying for it. But they're counting on you buying liquor.
In the restaurant business, you know.
That's a dishonest way of doing things. You should charge the same amount of profit for everything you sell.
Well, that would make sense, yeah.
That's being honest. When you do stuff like that, you're being dishonest. And I don't trust you now. And I have a reason to not trust you. You're doing distrustworthy things.
Well, if you've got a higher cost on, and it's just simple, not simple economics, but if you've got a higher cost on what you're bringing in to buy, meaning your product, you're going to have to make some profit on top of that, if that makes sense. I mean, if you've got a steak for, and you're buying it for $2 and you're selling it for $4, you've got to make that profit to recoup.
Yep.
So is that not happening, is what you're saying?
Right. It's not. They're counting on you buying other stuff that they have a higher markup on. That's why it's so expensive.
So the steak is marked higher up than?
Oh, no. The alcohol.
Oh, okay.
That they, because nobody goes in and orders a ribeye steak and drinks water with it.
Right.
You're going to buy
I do, sometimes.
Yeah. Not enough people do that.
Right? I know.
Yeah, the majority of people,
the people
right.
that get a steak are going to get alcohol to go with it.
Right.
And dessert and appetizers.
I got to where I save the steak add-ons. Now for it's a luxury item for me now. I used to go out and eat steak all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And I reserve it for the better. Because, you know, at my age, it doesn't work as well in my body like
but
it used
that's
to.
Like you go to a regular chain restaurant like mm-hmm. we'll just pick one out of the air Charlie's mm-hmm. used to be where you know I mean they'd fill you up with bread
and everybody all the restaurants do that they fill you up with bread.
That's by design you know I mean
and you better have good bread
yeah but I mean is that part of the cost that you're talking about
From a logic standpoint, I'm against the whole concept of giving people free food when they walk in and sit down. I enjoy it when I go to a Mexican restaurant
like
and I get chips
the
and salsa.
Right, right.
Yeah. But,
you know, where it,
you're
where it
in
makes
the business
sense
of that, selling food.
Where it made sense that it was like cock of the walk, all you can eat catfish.
Yeah.
So if they fill you up on turnips and cornbread the other item they'd fill you up on.
Yeah.
You probably eat less catfish.
Right.
Like Lambert's. Now, Lambert's, they come at you with cheese, just everything, mac and cheese mm-hmm. and black-eyed peas and applesauce and, a
bunch of cheap stuff that fills you up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, I guess I'm looking at the cost kind of thing. How is that evening out? Or does it?
Well, I'm sure they got it built in.
Yeah.
It's built in somehow.
Yeah.
There's
probably no telling how much profit they make off of selling Throw Rolls T-shirts.
That's a good point.
Yeah, they got the gift shop next door, and boom,
the merchandising and all of that.
Yeah, okay.
Plus, there's this concept in restaurants that there's a number in sales that if you can hit that number, and it's different with every restaurant. Once you hit it, you don't have to worry about any more of your costs
because of the profit.
Yeah, once you hit that number, profit is assured. So you don't have to watch waste like a dog. You don't have to watch labor like a dog.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But like I say, every single restaurant, it's a different number because every single restaurant has different costs.
What's the mac and cheesery's number?
I haven't found it yet.
Never hurts to ask.
Yeah, but something akin to what I did the last 2 weeks of Mardi Gras would be nice. That would pay a lot of bills, that's for sure.
And what was that?
I'm not going to tell you those numbers on air. I'll get
wrong. I thought you found something that helped to raise those numbers. That's what I was going to say.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Having Mardi Gras parades.
Oh, I got you.
Boosts it tremendously if you have an extra 50,000 people downtown.
Here's some numbers. 251-343-0106.
Good numbers.
Callahan's Irish Social Club. text in and call in line.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Speaking of numbers again.
Okay, tell me something.
I bet Tony Sawyer and the fine folks at Bob's Downtown Diner are got people lined up, just numbers of people lined up down there on this beautiful day. Yeah. At Bob's Downtown Diner, the corner, Fat and Happy. We want to thank them for everything they do for us here on the show.
Yes, we do. Good folks, good folks.
And Le Bichon Wine and Tapas Bar.
Le Bichon.
Great charcuterie boards, great pimento cheese, great wine selection. Downtown Daphne.
You know, one of the funny things about the French language
is
that when they end a word with the letter N, like halfway through pronouncing the N, they retreat. So it's not Le Bichon, it's Le Bichon. They just kind of, isn't that weird?
That's what the French and they have a different was retreating.
Yeah.
They have
yeah.
a different word for everything.
Except rendezvous. They use the American word for that.
I thought rendezvous was a French word.
That was American. The point, Mike. That was the point.
Yeah,
you'll catch up, buddy.
The Sip and Chew Comedy Show, Comedy Hour, and so we want to thank the fine folks over there at Hall's Sausage and Wholesale Meats. Yep. Have y'all been to Sarah Lynn yet? To ask for that. I hope y'all have. We need it in there. I like to shop at Sarah Lynn
Walmart.
Yeah, Sarah Lynn Walmart. But anyway. Yeah. Yes,
but you get it at all the rest of the Walmart.
You get all the rest of them.
Just Sarah Lynn Walmart has decided. Yeah, I know they're a mile and a half from us, but
Greer's,
it's too far to drive.
Piggly Wiggly, especially the one on University Rouse's. You can find Halls everywhere, but Sarah Lynn Walmart.
Yeah.
So, but go out there and ask for it by name. So, and then thank the fine folks over at Butch Cassidy's over in Floshale, the corner of Florida and O'Shell Road. So, this has been a beautiful weekend.
Theoretically.
I was supposed to have gone to Baton Rouge yesterday, the Red Stick, and hang out with David Hubble and John Foltz.
And Chris Sherrill.
At the Boucherie. Was Chris there?
I think so.
I don't know.
He posted a picture. It may have been from a previous stay there.
Yeah. But I went last year, and it was rainy, miserable, wet. But like it's still a great, fine time. But I bet they had a blast yesterday.
I bet they did.
And
I bet the pig had decidedly less enjoyable time.
And so did the roosters and the alligators and the bears that they used the fat off of. Bear fat.
The bears.
But David Hubble, our friend David Hubble, he's posted a few pics online. Because some of those pictures you just don't want to post. Because there's like... Going back in a slaughterhouse, huh? Back in a slaughterhouse, but they're doing
Steve
out there.
Steve does not know what a boucherie is.
No, I was about to ask, but I was waiting for that
opportunity. It means butcher.
Oh, yeah, it's French for butcher, but a boucherie in the springtime was when they killed a hog or hogs for the year.
Okay.
And they broke down and used every part. Well, John Foltz does a boucherie every year at White House?
White Oak. Plantation outside of Baton Rouge.
And and just, it's a demonstration of all the things they would do.
Sure.
So you pay money to come in and watch what people used to do so they didn't have to pay money for food.
From the stomach to the intestines to everything.
Everything. They use everything.
Yeah.
And then you get to eat
Lips.
We used to do something like that in Kansas with bison.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
I love bison.
Yeah. I mean, every part. Between the horns, the hooves, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
From the rooter to the tooter.
I heard, watching a show, you say the hooves. I was watching a show.
Make you some
blue. Afternoon, and it was foreigners, you know. It may have been Filipinos on there on the Create Channel. And the lady mentioned that they cook with hooves. Mm-hmm. And then the guest goes, oh, my God, I love that, you know, he said, we love using the hoof.
I'm guessing it's made of mostly of collagen, which is the lip smacking part of ribs when you eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Is the connective tissue breaking down?
Yeah,
I'm guessing the hoof is just a whole lot of that. Yeah. So eventually it just turns into that lip smacking stuff that gets on your fingers.
Got to be some flavor and stuff in there.
Well, it's probably fat.
It's because gravity pulls all the good stuff down.
Folks, if you're trying to find us, if you're trying to find us on the Facebook, we may be having some issues.
But it's going on the YouTube right now.
It's on YouTube and it's on Twitter.
Theoretically.
So.
I didn't have the Twitter button pushed either.
Okay. So if you're not,
I pushed all three buttons.
If you're listening and you're not seeing us on Facebook, we're sorry.
Yeah, you'll get over it.
We're having a technical.
You'll live. You'll be okay.
But we do.
You can always go back and watch it on the YouTube.
We do archive this.
Yeah, you can always watch it on the YouTube.
But hey,
I probably download the other day, YouTube and upload it to the
Friday.
Actually, we could probably download it there.
Speaking like a boucherie, Friday I went to that new barbecue place up outside of Bay Minette.
Didn't know anything about it.
By Cliff's Landing. It's called Shotgun Barbecue.
Really?
People are raving about it.
Is it right there at Cliff's on the river?
It's as you're on the way. It's like you can see, almost see, if you stand a certain part in the parking lot, you can see the river. From inside, you can't. And this building's been there a while, but he came in there and opened it up like right before Christmas. It's Ed Peterson, P-E-D-E-R, not with T's, but D, and his wife. And my God, I said, what do you want? And I said, well, I want it like a little of everything. But
what you wanted was a lot of everything.
Like a
rib
and a chicken wing and some pulled pork. Anyway, he fixed me
up. A single rib, one chicken wing.
No, he put
a flapper.
He put three ribs in there. But I'm going to tell you, he gave me a big portion of everything. And
still eating off of it?
Oh, my God, it was delicious. No, I took some of it to the office and let one of my bosses have the rest of it.
Let him do some lip smacking on it.
It was fabulous. He's doing a good job, dude. He's from Michigan.
What?
And what does he know about Michigan? I mean, Michigan, what does he know about? He knows something about barbecue.
He came down here and learned it.
He did a really good job.
We learned him up on it.
Everybody that's on the Baldwin County's Foodies page has been raving about the place. So I went up there Friday. I said, I got to go see. And I conducted some business while I was there. So a little bit of business. And I think he's going to do really well.
When I was growing up, we had a camp at Cliff's Landing. And this was back before 65 was completed, the Dolly Parton Bridge. So to get there, we had to go across the causeway and up 225 out of Spanish Fork.
Yeah.
That's a long drive from Sims.
You got to go like it around in a circle.
Yeah, in a three-speed 1966 F-100 with no air conditioning or power steering. Manual shift. And towing a boat.
Man, that was a rough life.
It was a great life. But the community of Hurricane, there's a four-way stop there. There was a Hurricane Drive-In.
Yeah.
And it's still there. It's not Hurricane Drive-In anymore. It's something totally unrelated.
I don't think you see anything in there right now.
But Hurricane Drive-In, they had these pork sandwiches. They weren't pulled pork. It was cubed pieces of pork, half-inch dice cube.
Okay.
That was the thing we looked forward to at the end of a trip. On the way back to Sims, we were going to stop at Hurricane Drive-In. We're going to get a barbecue pork sandwich, some of the best onion rings I'd ever had in my life, and a chocolate malt.
Chocolate malt sounds good.
Yeah. And then we'd sit there in the park because it was one of those where you pulled up, you got out, and you walked to a window.
Yeah.
It's kind of a round front to it. And then we'd just sit out in the truck and eat our barbecue sandwiches.
Just like Ed's Burgers.
Yeah. You know?
But when I go to a barbecue place, if I hear them back there, chop, 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 I don't want that. I want mine sliced or pulled. Now, if I'm pork, I want it pulled.
What you're talking about is called chipped.
And
I do what it is pulled first, and then you come back and chip it up small. The big pig style of barbecue, which you'll find along the Alabama-Georgia border from Columbus up past Auburn to Opelika and to LaGrange. You might say LaGrange.
I was about to say, yeah.
Yeah, but theirs is all chipped pork. and a mustard-based sauce, and it is phenomenal.
Yeah, but
some of the best
to
barbecue.
To me, the pork it dries it out when. And
oh,
like
they chop it before they put it on the sandwich.
Well, I don't know. In some places I've been to, I don't see them chopping it up.
Yeah, if they pre-chip it before,
I see
then,
them chopping it.
Yeah,
ahead of time.
It will dry out. You want to chip it to order,
and I want my brisket
sliced
like a half inch thick.
And I prefer pork pulled.
I do, too.
But those Dice barbecue sandwiches were so good, and those onion rings were so good.
You see, Lyle said, we just put sauce on it, and that'll moist it up. No, maybe I want my sauce on the side.
You don't own a sandwich. You don't dip a sandwich.
I want to have.
You can't.
I want portion control.
Earl of Sandwich laid down the rule, the entire meal's supposed to be between two slices of bread.
Right.
That's why he was the Earl of Sandwiches,
say,
a royal decree.
Sauce. I want my sauce. I want to be able to put as much sauce on.
A French dip is a good dunking sandwich.
I want to eat. Yeah. I want to taste the meat before I put sauce on it. So.
Yeah, but that's really more of a.
Is there anything wrong with that?
The whole point of the barbecue sandwich is to have it in your hand while you're driving down the road.
We've had past barbecue places that cover the flavor of their meat by putting sauce all over.
Well, a lot of people like that. 251-343-0106. What will that do, Mike?
That was the Callahan's Irish Social Club texting line.
I got no clue what the chicken pot.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Mike and Stu, that's us. We're on the radio. Mike was about to put his sunglasses over his ears, and he was going to put his headphones over his eyes. Well, as has been reported, last week was my birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was technically Thursday, but I had to work, so I was off Wednesday. I birthdayed on Wednesday. Actually, Tuesday night and Wednesday.
Okay.
I talked to you about, you know, I usually go to one restaurant and lay down $100 on dinner just for me kind of thing. I didn't do that this year. I went to two places on consecutive nights and only spent about $40.
Wow.
The first night, Tuesday night, I went to Sakura, which is a Japanese hibachi steakhouse. And everything I ate was very healthy, Mike. And I was stuffed. But I got the mushroom soup. Then I had the spicy tuna roll as an appetizer. And then I got the hibachi steak, the teriyaki steak. All of that's very healthy. And the steak is filet mignon, so it's very lean.
Yeah.
And filet is very tender.
Oh, yeah.
But it needs a sauce. Well, you've got that with teriyaki sauce. Yeah. You've got a sauce on there. Because its lack of fat means it lacks a good deal of flavor. So you usually introduce a fat into it, and that strings the flavor out. And that's why you usually see a filet mignon top with a sauce, béarnaise or something like that. And then I had the rice, and I had the vegetables. Very good. Delicious. I wanted steak. I got my steak.
Yeah.
And I kept it healthy. The volume that I ate, I probably didn't need the spicy tuna roll. But it was my birthday.
It is your birthday.
Yeah, and I don't do dessert, so.
And obviously all the rice. I mean,
I don't hardly do dessert either. Although the other day I did.
I've had a wicked sweet tooth the past couple of weeks, but I think that was Mardi Gras.
I did do the peach cobbler at Shotguns.
Oh, okay.
It was dang good.
And then Wednesday, I went to my favorite Thai restaurant, Sabai, right there. So both of these restaurants are a half a mile from
this
my
is
house.
Sabai is awesome.
This is an Asian-style fool here.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I was about ready to stab him in the throat with chopsticks when we were out.
Except he couldn't use them.
Yeah. They wouldn't stay in my hand.
One went in my ear, the other one went between my feet.
That would take coordination. Yeah, I get it.
But part of that is because in that region of Southeast Asia, which is going to be from India to the right, for those of you who struggle with geography.
Geography challenged.
Yeah, which takes you past Cambodia and Indonesia in the Indian Ocean, Vietnam, all of these places. You go through all of these little places, Laos, Malaysia, to get to China. Then off the coast of China is Japan. And north of both of those is Korea, which Korea is wedged in between China and the Soviet Union, or Russia now. So it's got influences of both of those in it. And then you've got the Philippines, which were a Spanish colony for 200 years, so there's such a huge Spanish influence on the food of the Philippines, sets it off from everything else that's in Asia. And all of these are really drastically different. I mean, Thai food is nothing like your Japanese restaurant.
No, you're right.
I mean, they're just totally, yeah, they have rice. And if you go to a Thai restaurant, there's going to be soy sauce there, but that's just for us round eyes that don't know better.
Yeah.
And I asked the guy at Taste of Thai down in Irvington, which is also phenomenal, but I think they moved to Leroy Stevens now or out that way. They had been planted on it. That's a great place, too. Great curries there. And I asked him one time, I said, why is there hoisin and soy sauce sitting on the table? He goes, it's for white people. they don't know better. They think this goes on all Asian food.
That's kind of like yum soy sauce.
Soy sauce, the salty version, is primarily only used in Japan, China, and parts of Korea. In Indonesia, they have a soy sauce, but it's loaded with sugar, granulated sugar, so it crunches when you bite it. It's delicious stuff. Yeah. And then there's all kinds of other sauces. And the sauces across Southeast Asia come from one of my favorite processes in food science, which is fermentation. That's ketchup is fermentation, which originally was, I believe, fish heads that were fermented. Marco Polo took that back. The Europeans didn't care for it. But then when they switched it out with this new thing from the New World called tomatoes, they came up with something that they liked.
Interesting.
Yeah. The catsup spelling of ketchup.
Yeah,
was from, I believe it was kekap, K-E-K-A-P, which I think was an Indonesian sauce, fermented sauce, possibly Chinese. But so there's just that breadth of flavors that you, well, I mean, I ate Japanese one night, Thai the next night, and the foods were totally different.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I had at Sabai, you would love their cowboy wontons, which is regular old breakfast sausage in cream cheese, in a wonton like a crab rangoon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I opted to go with their firecrackers, which is a fresh jalapeno sliced in half on the bias. They do a great job of taking the membrane and seeds out. Wasn't much heat at all to this. Then they stuff it with the crab stick, which is the imitation crab that you put on sushi, like a California roll, which is actually a type of fish that tastes very similar to crab. They add a little extra sugar, do some stuff to make it look pretty. So it's still fish. It's not funky.
Yeah.
And cream cheese.
Could be a funky fish.
And then they tempura fried it lightly. My God, that's better than any jalapeno popper you will ever eat anywhere else. Just phenomenal. And then my tried and true favorite, when it's on the menu, I get it, even though it's the most expensive thing on it, that is the duck curry.
Ooh, I bet.
Oh, my gosh. The skin is so crispy on top like bacon. Then you got a nice mild curry sauce. It wasn't too powerful. Probably should ask for some heat for me. And then you got that big cone of rice.
Yeah.
And I ate every bite of it. And I was looking at it thinking, there's no way I'm going to finish this.
They do a great curry. They really do. Sabai. I love Sabai. Yeah.
And Jean was a little upset that I didn't let her know that I was there. I posted the picture the next day on Facebook. She said, you should have told me you were there. I'd have come out. I just eat dinner.
It's my birthday. I want to be by myself.
She is the sweetest lady.
Yes, she is.
She is just a delight.
Now, I was talking about sauces. Have you ever heard of a fry sauce? Have you heard of fry sauce?
Hmm. Yeah, it's burger sauce. Fry sauce are very similar.
Oh, I get you.
It's from the...
like onion ring sauce, something like that?
Yeah,
you dip fries in it. And,
They're usually mayonnaise and ketchup based.
Yeah, I was,
and they're delicious.
Red where it's got cayenne, paprika. I was reading word like Southeast Idaho and
which those is nowhere near there. Kansas, by the way.
Well, I know, but that area of the country it was big.
Give or take a mile,
it was a big item.
Flat.
There.
It's all flat,
but it looks interesting. I'd like to try it. I think I'm gonna try. Save the recipe.
They have. Stores have Kinder's. Have you tried any of their sauces?
Oh, no.
Like the Japanese barbecue?
I didn't think about that.
They have a fry sauce.
Okay.
I'm using a lot of Kinder sauces the mac and cheeseries right now. I got their chipotle limes, my chipotle mayo for a couple of different dishes because it's a really good quality thing, and I'm doing everything myself. I don't have time to scratch make all these sauces.
Yeah, yeah.
You said Kinder's? How do you?
K-I-N-D-E-R.
Oh, apostrophe.
They have Kinder's.
Kinder's.
Yeah, they have the... salad dressings and all that too, don't they?
Yeah, the Japanese barbecue sauce, a lot popular, a lot of people, it just tastes like Sweet Baby Ray's to me. Mm-hmm. It was not very good. It was all too sweet. And
I was surprised because I want something on my burger patty, 93% ground, you know, meat.
Ketchup.
Well, I was surprised to learn how many barbecue sauces are low calorie.
Dreamland is only 5 grams of carbohydrates. Well, it's naturally low carbohydrate.
Like, there's some good, really good sugar-free barbecue sauces.
Oh, yeah,
sauces
that G. Allen. That's the barbecue sauce that I use, the mm-hmm. no sugar added. Everything he did was, he's a chef. He's been on Food Network a good deal mm-hmm. about 15 years ago. But he's doing so well with his product now, he didn't have to go on TV and be
so
a
chef. The big debate that I've always heard, and people go back and forth, A1 or the other?
Lee and Perrin.
Heinz 57.
Heinz 57. Why not? I mean, I've always enjoyed, because, you know,
if that's what you like,
I think it's a Midwest thing.
Yeah, I do not care for Heinz 57. I think it's pretty gross tasting.
It's a mustardy. And that's part of the reason why I stay away from it. So the other one, A1, I like because it's made from raisins, I understand.
It's okay. The A1 Bold is better. But the Lee and Perrin steak sauce is phenomenal. I'm having so much trouble finding
it
right now.
I like Dale's.
Yeah, but soy sauce with garlic salt and high fructose corn syrup in it. That's all it is.
Well, that's it. Take all the joy out of it.
Just burst in your bubble.
Yeah. I mean, but that's...
No, I didn't know if there was... You know, why is there such a debate over those? And what's
none of them go on steak.
Why?
Steak sauce goes on everything you eat with the steak, not the steak. If you're putting steak sauce on a steak, you got a bad steak.
So what do you put on a steak?
Your fork.
I was up
in... It's just meat, man. That's the whole thing. But now I've grilled out, and the soy from Dale's and stuff, it really adds to the charcoal flavor. There's nothing wrong with that. But Heinz is meant, and A1 is meant for the fries, the salad, your baked potato, everything but that. And if you go to Peter Luger's Steakhouse, who started the whole steak sauce thing,
okay,
they will tell you when they set it down, this is for everything but the steak. Don't put this on the steak.
I wonder how that got started.
When I was steak. When I was up in, was it Anniston I went last year to get my certification?
Anniston or Gadsden? Was there a big statue of a woman standing over a waterfall?
No,
okay,
no.
Then you went to Anniston.
So...
Yeah.
Anyway,
they're the same except
every,
for the
I was there. I was there 3 days.
Yeah,
I was there 3 days, and everywhere I went to eat at, mm-hmm. they'd ask me if I wanted Heinz 57 or
A1.
Yeah. I said neither.
Yeah,
I said, does your chef know how to cook? You don't need that.
Apparently, I know a lot of people that will not eat steak unless it is just smothered in a steak sauce.
You're eating steak sauce. You just get a spoon.
Yeah. And the only reason I raised the point is because it's such a debate, and I'm kind of setting the record straight. But it is for everything else.
Yeah, it's for everything but the steak.
I'd rather have some of the
it's great in meatloaf.
I'd rather have some of the natural drippings off the steak. On my steak.
You don't need steak sauce if you get it medium rare, the way God intended it, instead of having it burnt.
So like a honey butter or a butter on like
a compound butter is great on top. Mm-hmm. The original is the maitre d' hotel, which is just parsley and butter, but a rosemary butter is
the Royal Scam does the black garlic butter.
Oh, I bet that's good. And you know, Dolphins does, I think it's a cornbread sampler with three different butters.
Yeah, one of them.
Oh, you're right.
Gosh,
you're right.
That hibiscus butter.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And then Hummingbird Way does some creative butters, too, don't they?
I think they do.
Was that with their bread service, I believe?
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with all of that. But there's, you don't, it's just like, you don't like salad if you put ranch dressing on salad. You like ranch dressing, and the salad's a vehicle to get it to your mouth.
There you
the
there
whole
is.
Point of a salad is to taste vegetables. 251-343-0106. Mike, what's that?
That's the Callahan's Irish Social Club text in line.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Michael.
Okay.
Michael. See, what's a good place for breakfast on a Sunday morning like today?
There are so many places, but I always recommend Bob's Downtown down at the corner of Fat Happy.
That's the one that says Bob's Downtown Restaurant on the side?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to be in the
nest. It's got the angel wings on the back, too, yeah. On the back door.
Yeah, but the door, the building does not fly.
But I always recommend that place every day of the week.
Because they named a dish after you?
Maybe it's not necessarily that reason, but
yeah. But yeah, I think they named the dish after you because you already eat.
It's always, Mike!
It's like, Bailey's
cheers,
here.
You know, yeah.
And that's how I gained all my weight. Lord, there between there and Butch Cassidy's there in the heart of Floshell at corner of O'Shell and Florida Street. Fine folks over there. Yep. Hey, we want to thank Le Bichon Wine and Tapas Bar. Great, great charcuterie boards and pimento cheese. And always, hey, they got happy hours from 4 to 6 every day. That's $2 off a glass of wine. Great wines, by the way. And a draft beer. So you want to do that. You want to go there.
He's willing it to happen.
As a matter of fact, David Hubble said, Mike and Stu just got back from Boucherie. Great time at the Boudin Station. Chris, Cheryl, and Sam Jackson were there and did a phenomenal job on a raccoon and rooster stew.
Yeah, I just hate I couldn't go. I was supposed to go.
I wonder if it was they did a good job on some raccoon and they did a good job on some rooster stew, or if it was raccoon and rooster stew.
You know,
the world wants to know.
Last year I had never heard of rooster, you know, eating rooster. And then they had rooster.
That's what Sunday dinner used to always be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was the rooster.
Yeah, it wasn't the hen.
Yeah.
It was the rooster.
Yeah. But you know what you can get at Hall's Sausage and Wholesale Meat?
What's that?
Sausage and Wholesale Meat.
There you go.
Wow.
And I recommend, if you haven't had it, the smoked Cajun sausage. It's got the most flavor of any sausage I've ever eaten. Yeah. So good.
Well,
so
you know, my middle name is Reb. It was my dad's nickname in the Air Force.
Hmm.
I do a dish I call Reb Beans and Rice.
Oh, that's
and it's
good
red
play
beans.
On words.
It's red Clever. Beans and rice, and then you brown off some ground sausage, breakfast sausage, and you mix that into your beans.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add some Hall's on Dewey sausage to it. And then you add some Hall's Cajun sausage to it.
Look out.
Three different sausage variations there. And you do them different textures. The ground is ground.
Mm-hmm.
One, like the andouille, I would slice, and then the Cajun I would dice.
Yeah.
And that way you've got different textures going on, different flavors. It's very meaty.
I will love to.
It is not diet ready.
Get you some good old white bread.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then take that Hall's and slice it and put it on the grill.
Is that red hot, or are you talking about that Cajun?
The Cajun.
Have you thrown a Cajun into your air fryer yet?
Oh, yeah. That's how I've been cooking everything is in my air fryer.
Deborah will tell you the best way to cook a piece of Hall sausage is throw it in the air fryer for about 7 or 8
That's why I cook my bacon. My bacon turns out perfect every time. But when I get down to my desired weight, I'm going to have to go back to the stove because, you know, what I like about the like bacon and stuff like that, the grease off the bacon or whatever just drips to the bottom and it's not sitting there floating in grease, you know, fat. And so it's always nice.
When restaurants do it in the oven, which is why it's called bacon, because it's bacon in the oven.
Mm-hmm.
But you put a rack down,
mm-hmm.
put the bacon on top of the rack.
Drippings.
Yeah. And it comes in on what we call lay flat. You've probably seen it before. It's a big piece of parchment paper with about a pound of bacon sliced side by side. And you just walk up to whatever you're putting it on and flip that piece of paper down and drop it and peel that paper off of it.
All right. He said it was a stew.
I'm a stew.
Not that kind of stew. Raccoon and rooster.
Okay. So it was both.
Okay. Plus, he had a bourbon and rum tasty from John Folsey's distillery.
You know what? I got the tour of his distillery there last year, but they had another brewery there, distillery from somewhere else there.
Buying rum, maybe?
And no, it wasn't now. It wasn't local. It was somewhere up north, closer to where Steve's from. But he took us on a tour, and then he was going to make it bigger. They made a bigger space for it.
Yeah.
The facility is phenomenal. It's just a really nice place. But I see we got somebody on the phone.
Cookie, go ahead.
Good morning, Cookie.
Somebody now?
What's that?
What's up?
I said I'm somebody now?
How are you?
Wow. I never thought that would happen.
Well, it's better than being a disembodied voice, isn't it?
Or a noble. So anyway, listen, the reason that people go out to eat, I just got to remind you, because I am a voice for a lot of people, okay? Because I did it for a long time, and I'm happy to do it again. I won't be able to do it the same capacity, but I can, you know, sure do it. The reason that people go out to eat is to be pampered, to have somebody take care of you, to have somebody pay attention to you. And for the theater, that's why I made a bunch of money at it, okay?
And that's what it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be, I don't have time to eat, so I'm going to have somebody else cook for me.
If you want that, go to a drive-thru somewhere.
That's what that's for.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with a drive-thru either. I've done that, you name it, from the bottom to the top, I've done it. Okay?
Yeah, for the whole convenience thing. I get it.
And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's like, but the theater, why it costs more is not just the cost of the ingredients.
More, that's hardly any of it.
Yes, I mean, the labor cost is usually the highest. And the labor cost is usually the most valuable. If you ain't got good labor, you ain't got squat, as far as a restaurant, as far as I'm concerned.
You're only as good as your kitchen and your servers, in my opinion.
Yes, yes, and not necessarily in one order or the other. Okay, guys, I gotta say, the milk thing, y'all go back to that because, you know, you left out some stuff. But you also left out some stuff. It's Lent right now. You've been doing a whole bunch of talking about beef and stuff. Ain't nothing wrong with beef for those who want to be beef eaters. But it's seafood season, isn't it? I mean, I'm not even Catholic.
You know what I gave up for Lent?
Guilt.
Catholicism. I can eat whatever I want now.
One said I gave up Lent. The other said I gave up guilt. Okay,
he gave up Lent for Lent.
I enjoy seafood, and it's just I'm so torn about what I'm eating when I go into a restaurant and order seafood.
Read the ingredients on the menu. Read the ingredients on labels when you go to the grocery store. Yeah. READ.
Didn't they just pass something here that you have to list if it's Gulf seafood?
I certainly hope so. Louisiana has been doing that.
Yeah,
it had I think they listed whether it was from that state or another one. And Alabama's in the House trying to move it.
Yeah. I think there was some talk about this week. So, hey, Cookie, we got to go, hon. It's that
Love
time.
Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Too. Well, we've covered a lot of subjects today.
We have.
So, folks, get out there and support local. The same message we've always had. Support local, be local, buy local. Tip your servers, earn your tips. Tell them if it's Gulf seafood or not, or if it's real catfish or not.
Yeah.
That's a peeve.
And remember, if it says whitefish on the menu, folks, what they mean is shway.
Shway. No, yeah. Shway.
No sway.
Tusker said, just one final note, he says, the only thing I hate about catfish is skinning them. And you said something here in the last seconds. Yes. There's no skin in a catfish.
Yeah, filet. You cut the filet off first, but not completely off. Put the knife between the filet and the skin on the back end of the tail. Then you take the filet right
there
off.
There you go.
That's smart.
There you go. Yeah,
it is smart.
That's how the pros do it. Stu, have a great day at work today.
I will.
I hope you have a beautiful day. And, folks, we hope you have a Provolone day.
Provolone. I like it.
Stars are brightly shining, and my heart is pining for the Southeast day.